The scripture came, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 1. We'll start there. I love the scripture. Comfort ye. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her welfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. There's hope. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The comfort that God has for us and for those who know us, that there is a way of peace in the midst of a world that does not know peace and can never know peace without God and without us, the church. We are the ones to bring peace upon the earth through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every valley, he says in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low, the crooked street, and the rough places made plain. And we preached on that last Sunday. How wonderful it is that it doesn't depend on how high we feel, how wonderful we feel, how empowered we feel, or how badly we feel. We still know the purposes of God, and that is to bring compassion upon the earth. That is to bring his loving kindness down in our bodies, in the works that we do, and the things that we say that come forth from our mouth. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. You know why? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The prophetic voice is needed in the world today. It's not something for just the past, but it's needed today. We need to be encouraged. The teachers, moi, the evangelists, they can't bring you the encouragement that the prophets can. So let me speak to you, prophets. It is not for you to be glorified. It is not for you to somehow make an impact of what you say and how wonderful that prophecy was. It is for the encouragement of the body of Christ to come forth in the duty that they have been called to, which to bring the loving kindness upon the earth in their lives personally, in their church, and all those around. Don't be caught up in the prophecy itself. Be tuned in to the giver of the prophecy, who is the Lord of Lords. Because in chapter 60, verse 2, Isaiah says this, there's going to be a great darkness that will cover the earth. For behold, a great darkness shall cover the earth. And he says this, a gross darkness, the people. What does that mean? That means real evil. Gross darkness. Things you don't want to be there to see. Things that are too awful to speak about and to conceive in your mind. Gross darkness covers this people. You don't believe it? It's happening all around us. We only have to have eyes to see. But, Isaiah says, the Lord shall arise upon thee, he's talking about the church, that his glory shall be seen upon thee. So the glory of the Lord isn't just to make you feel good. The glory of the Lord is so that other people can see that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. His kingdom is here upon the earth. And the Gentiles shall come to the light. That means those who don't have any idea of what it means and what it should be, they will come. And the kings to the brightness of thy rising. In Matthew 3:16, as the people that walk in darkness shall see, have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isn't that good? Well, that's what we celebrate in Christmas, that scripture. A new thing has happened upon the earth, and they're totally oblivious to it. Young people are being drawn to the mega churches and to the concerts of Hillsong and other groups to worship the Lord. Why? Because they see a light. Finally, they see a light. And it wasn't in the Protestant denominations, but it was in the glory of God as we bring worship upon, restore worship upon the earth. Psalm 24, 7 through 11. Lift up your heads, therefore, I'll say, O ye gates, be lifted up, ancient doors. These doors have been closed too long. Been shut up and blocked up. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Is there any weakness in him, may I ask? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Is that true? Are you ready? Open up those doors of your heart, because he wants to come in. He wants to reside there. He wants to be there. Amen? I remember looking at the Milky Way galaxy at night, and many of you have seen the Milky Way galaxy in a dark sky. You can see the Sagittarius star cloud in the center of our galaxy. Beautiful colors. Even with the naked eye, if you're out there long enough, try spending at least 10, 15 minutes out there for your eyes to adjust to the darkness. But once you do, you'll see the beautiful, beautiful sight indeed. In fact, many will say the most beautiful thing you will ever see from where you are is the Milky Way galaxy. It's awesome to see the creation and the majesty of God and all of the things. He says he knows the stars and he named them all. But one of the things that I saw was this huge darkness of dust of the galaxy right there. And the Lord spoke to me prophetically, says, open up the doors. Open up the ancient doors. Let him come in. He wants to be here. He wants to be in every one of our hearts, not just to make glory happen here, but the glory would spill out. So you won't be able to contain it. Now, that's a pretty dangerous thing. I want to be in control. There's a part of me, Tim, that let's say I just want to have control. See, I like some things in the denominational churches I shouldn't like, right? I like the order. I like all of that thing. But if you block up the Holy Spirit, if you can no longer hear the voice of God, you have missed everything. So when you open the doors to the spiritual realm, other spirits can come in too. And our sensitivity in things of the Spirit, and prophets know this, they try to discern what's God, what's not God. Is that right? You have to step out in faith. And when you do that, get ready, because the elder's responsibility is to correct you when you're wrong. It's also our responsibility, more importantly, to encourage you when you're right. Well, I've been teaching a while on the life of Christ and the Gospels to give you an idea who Jesus really was when he walked upon the earth. Really, the historical Jesus, the one who cares so much for his disciples, the one who gave them parable after parable about what the kingdom of God is and who he is. But he was also very combative, confrontive, you know, always even provoking the Sadducees and the Pharisees and those who liked the law, those who would prevent the Sabbath rest of God from happening in their life because it was Sunday or because it was the Sabbath in those days. They even wanted to prevent Jesus from healing a man, as I spoke about last week. And it was a tragedy to see a whole generation go down the tubes because they misunderstood the Sabbath rest of God. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he lives in you every day, not just on Sunday or Saturday, whenever you want to celebrate it. He's in you every day and every moment. It belongs to you. So you don't have to like, oh Lord, make this happen. This church doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to our eldership. Wayne, is that right? It doesn't belong to us. It's Jesus' church. Whether it lives or dies, as a fellowship, is up to him. And your obedience to him, as we'll see later on. Well, the Apostle John, what did the Lord say? Hank, he said, through your prophetic word, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, right? John, through the Gospel of John through the letters and epistles, and John through Revelation, the whole book, was about to present the concept and who he believed God the Father is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very God of very God. He wasn't just the Son of Man. He was also the Son of God. He wasn't just the historical Jesus that healed and made everybody feel good. And like I said last Sunday, when all of those gathered around him, he said, "Heal every one of them, every last one." That must have been some prayer meeting. Heal them all. That's what he said, Tim. That's right. And he healed them all. Let that just permeate you. Every cell in your body. He wants to heal them all. Your bones. Your joints. Every organ. He wants to heal them all. Who doesn't want that? The enemy doesn't want that to happen. So, whose side are we on? The Lord's. So we keep praying. So we keep, and we are steadfast in the purpose of prayer. We say, "Well, my prayers aren't being answered." I don't care. You are to pray. You are to lift up. Don't give up. Don't stop short of the glory of God that he has for you. So John wrote the gospel. John wrote the epistles. And he said, that should be enough for an old guy. Now, I don't know how old he was when he wrote Revelation, but at least in his 90s. Yeah. So that's encouragement to me that I still might have a ministry when I get to be that old. You know, don't give up. There's still a word that God has for you and in you to speak to those around you, a word of encouragement. Like Vicky was just shared, she had no idea what the ramification of the word she spoke and the testimony that she gave and just a small thing she thought brought life to someone that had no hope. Defining her birth mother. What a blessing we are to the people on this earth. We are a blessing and meant to be a blessing. Things are really bad. Things are really so tragic. All I can do is think of myself. All we can do is think about how God's dealing with us. Well, let's put that aside for now. God is dealing with you because we're being conformed into his image. So if he isn't dealing with you, he will. But that's not really what it's all about. It's about the expression of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the kingdom of God through you, no longer tied to the law. Is that right, Peter? Yeah. No longer conditional about how you might feel, how high that wonderful you feel, how low you might feel. It is not conditional on those things. It is in you steadfast to bring forth his church, to bring forth his purpose, his intent, his heart. So you have to, that's my goal, is to know the heart of God. It's not good enough for me to know just the will of God, although I want to know that. It's not good enough for me just to know his intent. I want to know the heart of God. And it is his heart to bring forth true love upon this earth. Not one that is conditional, but a love that will crush the enemy. A love that will bring forth joy like you have never seen it before. A love that cannot be stopped at the borders of a building or the borders of a church. Or even the borders of your life. But it will continue on its own initiative. You won't have to go to home group. You kind of push things along. Get the worship going. You won't have to have a worship leader. It will have a momentum all of its own. The Holy Spirit, when it's poured out upon the church, will not be stopped. And that is what John saw in the book of Revelation. So let's turn there. It's a different Jesus in Revelation. Would you agree? It's the same one, but he isn't concerned about the Pharisees anymore. Never once did I see him mentioned in the Revelation about that concept. There are other things that he's more concerned about. He doesn't show up nailed to the cross. He's already done that work. Forgiven you of your sins, brought you to repentance. Well, we should, so be so grateful for what he did on a cross. And yet we come almost boastfully before each other sometimes saying, we just have this right to represent God. Remember how wonderful it is, but also be awestruck of your responsibility that God himself dwells within you. You are now holy, or you were not holy. You were evil, and he still loved you and rescued you. Knowing that, in his old age, John sees Jesus. Revelation of Jesus Christ, starting at chapter 1, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So this is a prophecy. This guy is seeing things that, you know, quite honestly, I don't think I want to see. When I look at Ezekiel, I see some things there I don't want to see either. Scary things. We paint this picture, you know, when we have funerals, we paint this picture that heaven is going to be this peaceful place where we're going to sit in a rocking chair and just dwell in the presence of God forevermore. I'm not reading poetry. I don't know what else. I've been rocking back and forth on a rocking chair. But I got news for you. It's going to be scary. It's going to be excitingly scary. But it's an adventure you are not prepared for. I'm not going to go into that. All right. Revelation of Jesus Christ. That means what he thinks of Jesus, what he knows of Jesus, how he's revealed to him, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So this angel was a witness of what John saw as well, who bore witness of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. The angel himself was not identified, but he saw things that John saw too. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear this words of prophecy. So it's not a curse to read John and to read Revelation. It's a good thing. I have to keep reminding myself. There's good stuff in here. And there is. And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, he wrote that some time ago. But the time is near. As we see the darkness cover the face of the earth and gross darkness, the people, we know the time is getting nearer. Is that true? But in that time, good things are going to happen. I'm going to have to go to Micah on that one. Let's go. I was going to say this for the last. I already shared this with Bruce this morning, so you can close your ears, Bruce. No way? Micah, chapter 4, verse 1. And behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. So those who are into global warming, this is your scripture, I guess. But I'm not. But anyway. All the proud, yes, all those who do wickedly will stumble in that day. A day which is coming shall burn them up. So this is really judgment of the Lord, says the Lord of hosts. And I will leave them neither root nor branch. Well, this is a judgment that's final. But to you who fear the name of the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and go like fat calves that are stall fed. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soles of your feet. On the day that you do this, says the Lord of hosts. So when that curse, when that judgment comes upon the earth, it will not be a curse to you. That same sun which will scorch the earth for the enemy will be a blessing to you. The Son of Righteousness, and it's spelled S-U-N, shall be like healing in your wings. Ah, let the healing of the Lord come forth upon the earth in you and through you. So he begins to address the churches that he's going to talk to, which is all the churches that John knew, I'm supposing. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you. What is the first word? Yeah. Is that a surprise? That's not a surprise for me. Most of the time when the Lord talks to me, this first word is my peace, grace, come on. What's your problem? Grace to you and peace from Him. Wake up in the middle of the night with a nightmare and you start talking to the Lord. Grace and peace to you, says the Lord. But He who was and who is to come from the seven spirits are before the throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Who's in charge? Over Trump? Jesus. Over Al-Qaeda? Jesus. Over Iran? Jesus. Over the Democratic Party? Jesus. Over the Republican Party? Jesus. Over history? Jesus. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's not retreating. He isn't abdicating His throne to anyone. To Him who loved us, listen, loved us, to Him who loves us, has He ever stopped loving you? He will never stop. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. John immediately goes to the cross. He doesn't forget the cross. He said, it's passé, it's already done. But he reminds himself of the glory that God manifested on the cross for the sin of His, for washing away our sin. And made us, because of that, made us kings and priests to our God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He is saying our Savior is completely omnipotent, without any restriction of power. If you have a revelation, if you have a prophecy, remember, He's omnipotent. There's no, you don't have to coax Him into making your prophecy happen. You don't kind of have to like re-explain everything that God has. Listen to His voice, and His only. Now, it's really easy to be caught up in the emotion of it all, as John was too. When I have a prophecy, I remember the first prophecy I had, I couldn't stop shaking. So what's God doing? But don't be caught up in the emotion of it. Put it aside. John says, behold, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. It won't be just you, prophets. Every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn. That means be sad because of Him. That means they're sad that they treated Him so badly, that they missed it. They're going to be sad on that day. Somehow they weren't listening to you, the church. Somehow they weren't listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And they'll be sad on that day when He comes. Even so, amen, He will come. There will be a second coming of Christ. Some churches don't believe that, don't preach it anymore. But some good things are going to happen. Behold, He's coming in clouds, every eye will see. And He will say this, quote, I am, we heard that this morning, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. Is there any doubt that Jesus is God? Is there any doubt that He is very God of very God? Is there any doubt that He's not just the Son of Man, born of a woman? Is there any doubt that He is indeed representing the very Word of God? Is that He is the exact representation of the Father? John wants to make sure you know in the book of Revelation that there is no doubt in his mind. That when Jesus spoke these words, He's quoting Jesus, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty God. Well, yeah. Well, if I saw that vision, I'd probably do what John did too. He says, John, your brother, is identifying with you as a man, companion in the tribulation, meaning we all have problems. Right? And kingdom and patience of Christ. So we have problems, but we are to endure the problems. Both on the island that is called Patmos and the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard me, and I heard behind me a voice, a loud voice, as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And when you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, in Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. So he heard this sound. He's minding his own business. He hears a sound. It's almost like Samuel. Samuel was minding his own business. Then he hears the word, Samuel. Immediately he goes to his mentor and says, what's going on? Well, maybe, Eli says, maybe go back and see if the Lord speaks to you again. Samuel, go back. Go back again. Don't give up. Listen to the word of the Lord. John says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Wow. There is a turning. Even if you're filled with the Spirit, the Lord wants you to seek him. So he will hide from you, in a sense. But there will be a voice, and you will turn to see the voice of the Lord. I have turned, and I saw the seven golden lampstands in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet. Now listen to what I'm saying here. This is something that's to be seen. And girded around the chest with a golden band. Just that alone would be something to see. So I have some metal gold on my finger, which signifies my relationship with my wife, which is dear to my heart, which is a covenant that I made with her. There is a band of gold around his chest, which represent a covenant that he has in his heart to you. And he's not about to give up on it. He's not about to change that gold for any gold that he can find on the earth. What a wonderful thing. Many times in the prophetic word, there are things that are hidden for you to find. I'm just showing you one. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. His head and his hair were like white as wool. I had to do that. You know, when my hair turned white not too many years ago, I was sad in a way. My wife says, oh no, don't be sad. It's a good thing. In fact, there are many verses in the Old Testament that said that's the sign of wisdom. It's a sign of honor for you to have white hair. So that's one of your favorite scriptures too, right, Jim? Okay. Anyway, I always laugh when I read the scripture. And I say, okay, I get it. So he's got all these garments. He's got this gold band around his chest, and his hair is as white as wool, white as snow. He even goes on to describe it in two superlatives. And his eyes, though, are like the flame of fire. Not ones that's scary necessarily, but ones that are piercing. Fire is the one that knows and can judge perfectly the things that are in your heart. Remember the Holy Spirit. John says he's going to baptize you with fire. Look out, because that fire cannot be quenched. It's going to be one that can see into the innermost parts of your heart. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, but not just metal. It'll be like the fine brass is refined in a furnace that's like glowing. And his voice as a sound of many waters. Okay, go to Niagara Falls and try talking to somebody next to you. It's almost impossible to hear them. You have to shout and yell over it. There's so many words coming forth that from the waters, every drop of water is speaking the praise and the glory of God. When deep calls unto deep, that's what the psalmist was talking about, is a drop of water speaking to the ocean. And a drop of water, everybody can hear it.
ping.
When you put all those pings together, it's a poor superlative. But anyway, it's a sound of many waters, a roaring thunder. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of its mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And that two-edged sword we know is the word of God, separating what is God and what is not God. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. It wasn't like the sun at sunset. It was like the sun shining in its full strength. When the sun shines in its full strength, you better be ready for it. And when John saw this, he didn't go, oh, thank you, Lord, that was a great revelation. Let's build three temples here, like his disciples wanted to do. This is really awesome stuff. It's time to build a temple. He didn't say any of those things. Maybe we need to be like John. Prophets, listen to me. Maybe you need to be like John first before you say anything. In your spirit. You don't have to actually fall. But when John saw me, he fell at his feet as dead. Knowing who he was, a human being, knowing the work of the cross, knowing all the things that Jesus is and the power and the almighty presence of God, there is only one response that a human being can have. Yeah. So prophets, first fall dead before you prophesy. We don't want to hear you. We want to hear God. But he laid his... Listen to this. This is so wonderful. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. Now, there's something about touch. It's an awesome thing. When I touch someone, it isn't just math. Something that's imparted, even casually, to another person. But when Jesus reached out with his right hand and touched John, it was symbolic in a way, because his right hand was the power of might. His right hand was the one that's going to bring forth the things upon the earth. But it wasn't that purpose for John. It was for him to be reassured, to not to be afraid. One might ask the question, how can you not be afraid in the presence of the Almighty God? In our natural sun, if you just got to the orbit of Mercury, it wouldn't be much hope for you. How can we not be afraid of God? But we are commanded not to be afraid of God because of the love of God that cast out all fear. And we must be immersed in the love of God. Prophets, listen. You must be immersed in the love of God. Don't come from any other place, because you're going to get burned up. And I love it when the Lord places his hand up. Can sometimes you've been in prayer, can you feel the hands of God on you? I have. Sometimes it's been a person praying for me up here. And the Lord says, those aren't his hands. Those aren't her hands. Those are my hands. Have you heard that voice? Because he wants to use you as he wills. And he says again, I love the Lord. He's not afraid of his name. He's not afraid of the power that's resident within him. He's not afraid of it. So I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And, by the way, I have the keys to Hades and of death. And, by the way, they have no victory over me. Wow. John, don't be afraid. But, oh, by the way, I am he. And, oh, by the way, I have the keys to hell and to heaven. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things that will take place after this. So Jesus is saying, get ready, the prophecy is coming. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. This occurred to me that the church is universal, one church, but the fellowships within the church have a personality. A community of believers has a personality. You are a part of the universal church. There is only one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. But knowing that, the fellowship has a personality because we all individually have personalities, and our individualness is important to God, as we'll see in a few minutes. I am personally glad each one of you are different, especially glad that you're not me. You know why I'm saying that? Do you get that part? Do you get that? I mean, think about it. If you had to just live with yourself for a while, that's kind of scary. I get kind of bored with myself after a while, right? But that's why the Lord gave us the Word of God. We can immediately, if we're all by ourselves, we can go right into the Word of God. We can go into prayer. And we can pray for other people. Stop being so myopic. Yes, God is dealing with you. Yes, God is changing you to His purposes and likeness. But God has a purpose for you. For those who are suffering and illness in their life, we can pray, not just in home group, not just in the time of prayer after this meeting, but every day and every moment that God gives you your heart to pray, pray. I don't know how many times I pray for the prodigals. I still pray for them. Those who have left and those that I know God is calling them back. Those that the enemy has no hope for and wants no hope for, I still have hope for. And I will verbalize that. Just as Jesus says, I'm the first and the last. He keeps repeating himself. I says, I still have hope for that person. I have not given up. Yes, I've heard them talk about the killing of children and how unimportant that is before they're born. Yes, I have heard their words. But Lord, call them back. Call them back to the gospel of peace. Call them back to the gospel of life. Call them back to you yourself. Call them back to the cross, place of repentance. Lord, that they would arrive here with tears in their eyes, not through violence, which the enemy wants, but through the tears of repentance. And they say, oh, how wrong have I been that I did not know, that I chose my own way, that I left those people who loved me for people who didn't. I left for a world that was more concerned about what they're being fed, how much money they have. Remember, I talked about this last week. All those things. Being liked by others. I left my fellowship because I wanted those things in my life. More than I wanted your love. More than I wanted the glory of God manifested through me. A lot of people leave the church for different reasons, but one of them is they're afraid that God would take them and make them a missionary somewhere in South America or Africa, and they don't want to go there. You know, that's crazy stuff to think about. God will take you wherever He wants to take you anyway. But it's going to be a good thing. God, the Lord says, I have plans for you, and they're plans of good, not evil. Open up the gates. Let the King of Glory come in. Invite Him in. John's revelation of Jesus in the Gospel, one, the confronting the Pharisees, God's revelation of Jesus preaching the parables, healing the sick, reaching out to those who had no hope. John's revelation of Jesus in his epistles was one of the Holy Spirit moving and being motivated by that Holy Spirit in the face of obedience and love like we never knew it before. Here, we see a different Jesus, one who is in command and control, one who is never going to relinquish his power, one who cannot because he is the Almighty God. And he says this, the first thing he says. And if he said nothing else, it would be enough. The first thing Jesus says is not to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's not to his glory upon the earth, but it's about the church. Individual personality, individual church, the church of Ephesus. A church that had lost something, that needed to get something back. He spoke to the church in the 70s. This is the word he spoke. He spoke to the church in the 80s and the 90s. This is the word he spoke. The church spoke to the church in the millennium, this wonderful century that we're living in, where darkness is starting to come in. He's still speaking the same word. He says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this. Get up and write this. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Listen, his concept here, Jesus is not something who's standing by waiting for us to fail. He is walking in our midst. The personality of the churches. How can Jesus be involved in the politics of the individual churches? There he is. He's saying he's doing it. He isn't just leaving it up to the eldership. He isn't leaving it up to the home groups. He isn't just leaving it up to you and me. He himself is here, walking in among us, in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He isn't leaving us behind as orphans, saying, I wonder how they're going to do. By the way, I don't think we do very well without them. And he says this. This is where the fiery eyes come, right? He knows. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience. He knows the goodness that we have, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Boy, I feel proud about that. Well, thank you, Jesus. Finally, somebody's recognized me. You have tested those who say they're apostles and they're not. Yeah, that's true. You found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Whoa. That's pretty good stuff. Put that on my tombstone. Get ready. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You know, the Lord always doesn't just come against you with things of correction, but he wants you to know that there is genuine good in your life that you have embraced of the compassion and the goodness of God. Don't give that up. And when he corrects you, hold on. Yes, Lord, I know. I'm glad that you still love me. I'm glad that you still work your miracles through me. But I'm listening to you because I want to change. I want to hear what I'm doing wrong. Don't you? Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Boy, what a wound that would bring to my spirit. And yet I know that time after time, I forget the first love that I had. You know how I remember the best? There she is right there. I look at her and I say, Lord, I need to show her how much I love her today, just as much as I did when I first married her. And the Lord says, yeah, and me too. Yeah, me too. The Lord is seeking your love. He doesn't take it for granted. He doesn't think, oh, I know they love me. I know Bruce loves me. I know Brian loves me. I know that they love me. Well, he does, but he wants to hear it. And so there's almost a day that doesn't go by that I don't tell Cheryl I love her. There's almost, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't say, Lord, I love you. His response is always the same. How much do you love me? I said, I don't know, a couple trillion. Getting better every day. I love you, Lord, so much that I can't hold it back. I don't want to hold it back. And I begin to see the things in this world differently. My camera will testify. I see things a lot differently. I don't just see the evil and the darkness that's covering Texas and Ohio yesterday. But I see the mercy of God that's extended out to those families. As the pastors are gathered together, and Franklin Graham sent them down to bring healing to those families that have been brokenhearted. He's not the only one. There are many that reach out in compassion. Well, all I can do is pray. It isn't all you can do. If that's the only thing you can do, it's good. That's the start. It is the purpose of God for you to pray for those who are suffering. Don't neglect it. I can't imagine Jesus turning away from somebody who didn't heal and say, that's it, I don't care about them anymore. I can't even imagine that. His prayers would still go forth. But he says this. Well, you left your first love. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that one. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Just as John remembered the cross. Repent. What do we need to do? Repent. That means turn, purpose, to do something different. To do what? Your first works. So I used to think about things I could do to communicate to Cheryl how much I loved her. I used to think about things that I could do with the Lord that would reassure how much I loved him, reassure me how much I loved him. I'll learn a new song on my guitar. Sounds trivial, but I will do it. I will go in home group with a word of encouragement. Let me seek the Lord in the scripture today for that. I will, and all those works, where have they gone? Well, they're still there in your heart. You just need to stir them up. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It could just be a word of encouragement to yourself. As you look into the heavens and the stars, you can do it tonight if you want. Think about something that they mean to you, the creation of God. And let his love come in. Don't let the enemy come in, because when you open your things up to the Spirit, the enemy will be right there and say, oh, I'll come in with all of the craziness of the New Age. I'm not talking about New Age love. I'm not talking about New Age prophetic prophecy and all the things that they can do and false prophecy, false healings. I'm talking about the real one. I don't want a fake. There's enough fake stuff happening. Even those people that say fake. It's like, oh, just give me something that's absolutely real and true. You know, I don't know how many of you know that much about diabetes. I have type 2 diabetes. At least my doctor says I do. It really doesn't matter what she says. But regardless, I know what happens to my blood sugar when I eat different foods. So Cheryl made a chocolate chip and banana cake. Can you imagine what that might have done? My blood sugar went from, like, my baseline, which is about 114, and went right up to 240, like that. And stayed there for 3 hours. Didn't know how to handle that kind of stuff. It's interesting, different kinds of sugars and different kinds of things affect your body, and your body responds differently. If I ate raw sugar, just table sugar, it would go up and it would go right back down again. It knows the reality. It's real sugar. My pancreas would say, you need insulin. There it is. But you make it, disguise it, those bananas, whatever it took, your body doesn't respond well at all. At least mine didn't. That's the name of the disease. Just it's there. Everything works. Just doesn't work the way it should. But you have been given a spirit of revelation and understanding through the Holy Spirit to discern reality from fake, from that is real and not real. And that's basically what he's saying to Ephesus. So you know how to make this discernment. You know how to do this. Remember from how far you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Or else I will come quickly and remove the lampstand from its place. He isn't going to remove your salvation. But if the church, the whole church, goes this direction, let me give you a clue. It doesn't have a life of its own anymore. The Holy Spirit cannot reside in a church that doesn't love Him. This is about a love affair that you have with Jesus Christ. It's an adventure that you have with Him. It's an exciting thing that you have with Him. And when you lose that, you have lost it. Unless you repent. But then He reminds them, but this you have, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also have, which I also hate. Does Jesus hate things? Yeah, He sure does. He hates false things. And this whole movement, the Nicolaitans, was exactly that. A false church. A false hope. False prophecy. A false testimony. There's one thing that over and over again that really makes Jesus angry. And that is a false witness. Did you know that? False witness is repeated over and over again. And every time it comes up in the New Testament, you can feel the animosity of the Holy Spirit against that. We are to be people of truth and honesty. When you go before the Sanhedrin, whatever that might be, your boss, court, your friends who accuse you, you don't have to prepare a text. The disciples knew that, spoke that to each other. You only need the Holy Spirit within you to discern the truth and not the truth. Both. That discerning spirit within you. And to bring forth the peace and the grace and the mercy of God into every bad situation you find yourself in. That is a wondrous thing to do. Vicky's testimony this morning was not a sole occurrence. Oftentimes the Lord has already used your voice. Listen to me, Brian, listen to me. He's used you in the words you have prayed for others up here. I know for a fact. Every one of you He has used in prayer. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You have to be open to hear what Jesus is saying prophetically. We are to be prophets. Get this straight. You're not special. The church is to be a prophetic church. You're not the only one that's hearing God. The entire church should be hearing God that way. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You only need to be open to it. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Did you hear that? What is the tree of life? When did you hear that one last? Isn't that where Adam and Eve got kicked out of? Isn't that the one that the Lord guarded with a flaming sword that nobody could come to? Isn't that was the tree that Satan says you can't eat of that unless you would die? Well, it's not going to be, the tree of good and evil, but the tree of life is the one that you won't die. God said we shouldn't eat that. But now, He has given you eternal life through that tree. And that tree is the Lord Jesus Himself. You cannot have life within you without having He Himself in you. And eating of Him every day. And that's when the church got in trouble. They said, church believes in cannibalism. No, we don't believe in cannibalism. Eating the bread of life means that we're eating of His goodness. We're like listening to every word that pours forth from His mouth. That we're listening for Him to come. Listen, in the garden, they said they could hear the Father rumble in the wind. Even when they were fallen, they could hear He's there. They still had the ear to hear. I believe there are people in this world that have the ear to hear. And the enemy is coming in false prophecy. The enemy is coming in with false religion. And it's coming in all different kinds of ways to like give them a substitute for reality. But we have the reality. Not because of something we did, but because of the Word of God. Not because we are so special, but because of the Word of God. You can eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. His full, complete provision. And we'll go back to Malachi. Surely the day is coming. I will burn like a furnace all the arrogant and every evildoer. And that day is coming. I will set them on fire. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And the last scripture I want to read today, because I want this to be a day, many are mourning in the world, and I want us to be sensitive to that. And we shouldn't be insensitive to that. Say, well, this doesn't affect the church. It doesn't affect me, what happened in Texas. What if it was Walmart in Kingston? It could easily have been. We need to reach out in our hearts for those who are mourning, but guard ourselves, because we are not ones who are sick in mourning. We are ones who are alive and well, even in a place of mourning, because it says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which you have, love, joy, and peace, which surpasses all understanding, all logic. I shouldn't have any peace here. Texas or in Ohio, but you do, will guard your hearts. Guard it from what? From a sadness. Right? It's the peace that leads to sadness we don't want. Or just peace, brother. Well, that's going to be a big trouble. But this peace that Jesus gives us is one that we know that God is in charge completely, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings over everything. He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that's my prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we know the enemy's works. We're getting to know them more intimately than we ever wanted to. But our gospel isn't about the enemy. Our gospel is about the Prince of Peace, the one who we worship every Sunday, the one we worship every day, the one we come together and fellowship on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights, the one we even times we meet in the grocery store. When fellow Christians we meet, we are about fellowshipping around you, Lord Jesus, and the love that we have to you, toward you, and in you. We pray, Lord God, that it would not be a love that is cloistered away, self-serving and self-seeking, parochial, or inward-turning, but it would be outward. Open up the gates of our heart, O God, that we would see those in the world that are reaching out. The enemy would not have them as toast. The enemy would not steal them away. But the prodigal would return with tears in their eyes. A heart that is clean and refreshed. They would fall down at the cross as if dead, because they see the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he washed away their sin with his blood. It is no light thing. It is no trivial thing that you have done for us, Lord God. And I pray for those who prophesy and those who are going to prophesy. Pray for those prophets and those who pray prophetically. Those who think prophetically. Those who have never prophesied, who have a prophecy in their heart. I pray for this, for us, Lord God, that you would bring forth the truth of who you are and who we are. And we would humbly walk in that, not presuming that we know, but come forth with a purity of understanding of the word, the written word of God and the living word of God as it is to be expressed in our environment, in this day, in our home groups, the place where we are and in this world. I pray for a special anointing on those that are going down to Texas and Ohio and other places to bring forth that word of peace to a place where there is no peace. Lord, I pray for our country, our nation. I pray for the world that is so messed up. All they can think about is stealing another oil tanker. How stupid is that? It is stupid. There are stupid things happening. I'm not afraid to say that, but there's one who is never stupid. There's one who stands before the universe as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the very Word of God, the Almighty, Omnipotent, Omnipresent, and he is the one that we worship today. Amen? Amen.